So who was this man, Jesus? Who was this guy, itinerant, traveling around, healing people with just a word or just a look? Who was this revolutionary who preached that God loved the poor and that the rich would be thrown aside if they didn't repent? Who was this man? That must have been the question on everyone's mind in Capernaum the day that they all gathered at Jesus' home. I didn't actually realize that Jesus had a home, did you? But that's what the scripture says, that he was home in Capernaum. Maybe that was the home base that he used to launch all of his ministries, because we know he traveled near and far, again healing the sick, being with people that authorities thought he had no business being with. But he was home at Capernaum. Maybe he was there to rest. Maybe he had done so much traveling and healing that he thought, oh, at last, the comfort of my own home. I can get back. I can kick back for just a little while, regroup, recharge before I go out again. But that was not to happen, at least not this day in this story. Because all of the people heard that Jesus was back, and they knew the wonderful things he was doing, the amazing things he was doing, and they wanted to see it for themselves. In fact, so many people gathered that day at his home that were told there was no room, not at the front entrance, not in the back, not in the side, not on the lawn. Nowhere was there room to get near to Jesus. A paralyzed man apparently heard that Jesus was back in town too. And so did four of his friends. And they decided to go that day and present their friend on the pallet, on the mat, before Jesus, because they knew that if they could do that, that he would be healed. Just have to stop for a minute and pause right here in this story. What does it mean they were so hopeful, so expectant? They were so filled with the power of what Jesus could do that they walked however far, we don't know how far, carrying a man on a stretcher. They carried him there because they knew if they could just get near, like the woman who had been bleeding, that knew if she had just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that they would be made well. Can you imagine what it would be like to have that expectation every day? Every time when we come to church, to walk in not only to greet friends, not only to hear wonderful music or hear the word, but highly expectant with great anticipation, knowing that if we can just get close to Jesus, that somehow our lives will be changed. So they bring him to the building, and they must have quickly calculated that the only way to get down to Jesus was literally down through the roof. I don't know how long it would have taken to dig through the roof. I imagine they didn't bring their power tools with them that day. And Jesus is in the house and he's talking, and it says they're digging through the roof and digging through the roof. And I'm imagining Jesus preaching and teaching and thinking, you know, are the squirrels getting big now? What's happening that they're coming down through the roof? But alas, the roof is shattered. They put the man down. Jesus looks at him and he says something that has perplexed me for years. The first part is not perplexing at all. He says, "You're of great faith." But then he says something that I have honestly wrestled with a bit over the years. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I don't know what the man who was paralyzed was expecting to hear, and I can imagine if I were in his situation, he could have, you know, sung the whole chorus or the whole score to Oklahoma, and I wouldn't have cared as long as I was to be healed. But what an unusual thing to say. Your sins are forgiven. Sometimes in the Bible, people would misconstrue if someone were paralyzed or blind or mentally ill, that somehow they had done something to deserve this. There's another passage where someone says about a boy who was blind, they say to Jesus, "Well, who sinned, the boy himself or the parents?" And Jesus says, "Nobody sinned to cause this." So I have to believe that it's not that Jesus thinks that the man has done something wrong to deserve the state he's in. What I think the longer I reflect on that this is about that Jesus treated him like he would treat anybody else. Someone, a human being, who comes for healing, where Jesus knows that the only way to truly be healed, the only way to truly be made whole in spirit and in body, is to bring that person into closer relationship with God. When I was growing up, I thought of sin as things I did wrong, and I could keep a little list. I did that for a while because I was taught that confessional sin was good for you in private with God, and I remember all the little lists that I made. Today, I thought something bad about my neighbor, Gina. Today, I locked my brother in the bedroom knowing he wouldn't be able to reach the lock to get out. That was actually a very big one because Dad had to take the whole door off the hinge. I paid dearly for that, but it was kind of worth it in the moment. But I would keep all of these lists of things that I would do wrong, so I thought about sin as wrongdoing. Now I think about sin in a different way. It can encompass the things that we do wrong or the things that we don't do that we should do, but I think about it more about distance between us and our relationship with God. And the more distance there is between God and us, the more likely we are to fall out of grace, to do those things that we shouldn't do, to turn our backs on people whom we should be reaching out toward. The farther we get away from God, the more emotions like bitterness and hate and prejudice or whatever else fear that we're feeling can build up. And when we come into close relationship with God, the gap on those things that keep us from being the called person we are to be seems to close. So I feel like when Jesus was saying to the man, "Your sins are forgiven," he was saying, "You have just come down through a roof into my presence, and now you are changed and transformed and healed. And now, because you understand that I am here for you, I am Emmanuel, I am a God with you, not a distant, faraway God, now you can pick up your mat, and you can walk, and you can go home." I think about the power of forgiveness all the time, and when I was thinking about this passage, so many stories flooded into my mind, but I don't know why this particular one about a pie seemed to rise to the surface. This wasn't just any pie. This was a very carefully, beautifully crafted apple pie. And it was made by an older woman in one of the churches that I served in Maine for the church fair. Now, this was a woman that I didn't meet until the end of her life, and that's when I heard this story from her. But apparently what had happened is that the years that she was in church, she went to the ladies' fellowship, she tried to get involved with things, but she always felt a little bit on the outside. She never felt that she was part of the in-group of the women at the church. So one of the things that she was going to do is she was going to make this beautiful pie to bring to the church fair that they had where they would be selling them. So apparently on the day she showed up to the church fair, and if you've ever worked on a church fair, you know how hectic that can be. I guess things were flying in different directions and they were trying to get everything set up. And so when she placed the pie down on the counter, instead of turning to her and thanking her for what she had done, I guess the woman just kind of grabbed it out of her hands and moved to do something else. Well, this woman took this as such an affront. Of course, not really about the pie, though she said it was about the pie. It was just further confirmation for her that she didn't really belong, that she wasn't really wanted and appreciated. And for the next, I want to say, at least 20 years, she never showed up at church. So when I showed up as an associate at this church, her name appeared on a prayer list to somebody who was struggling and near the end of her life. Very few people knew who she was, but someone said, "Oh, I remember her. She used to come around, and then she just stopped, and we don't know why." So I went to visit her. I introduced myself, and the story of the beautiful apple pie came forward. And we talked for a while, and I told her that I can understand how hurtful that must have been for her. to have put all of this time and effort into wanting to be part of the community and to feel like she was shunned in some way. And I asked her if she wanted to give it another try, give it another chance to come to church, but she felt like she just couldn't do that. So I went back to the woman who had remembered her, and I talked with her for a little bit, and I told her the story, and she said, "I remember that pie. I do remember that pie. It was so intricate. You know, I don't know what you call it. Is it lattice that you put on the top so you can tell I do not bake?" But it was this beautiful, lovely pie. She says, "Oh, and I was probably just so busy in the moment." And so I told her that the woman was still at home, though she was quite ill. And she said, "You know, I want to go and visit her." So apparently what happened is she went and she visited her, and she said, "I wanted to tell you that I remember the day that you came with that beautiful apple pie for our church fair, and I wanted to tell you how sorry I was that I never got the opportunity to tell you how much we appreciated it. It was such a hectic day." She said, "And furthermore, I'm so sorry that when you stopped coming to church, I didn't call you and I didn't come." She said, "It's not that I didn't think about you, but I didn't know if it was my place to come and see you or call you. But now I wish that I had, and I hope that you'll forgive me." Apparently, there was a lot of tears, a lot of forgiveness going on in that moment. And the very next week, accompanied by the woman who had who had been the one who didn't notice what the pie was that day, brought her to church, and the two of them sat together. All of the 20 years of resentment and bitterness and feeling on the outside and feeling sad and lonely seemed to dissolve when someone said, "I'm sorry," and the other person said, "I forgive you." It was a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it was so sad to me that so many years had been wasted, but the great gift was at the time in this person's life when she needed her church community the most. They came and she came together, and true healing happened. The Pharisees were so angry at Jesus, and we give them a bad rap, but I can kind of understand their point, can't you? In their view of the way that they held the tradition and religion, God was the only one who could forgive sins. And because they were not able to see the divinity in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, they thought, "Who is this guy that he thinks he can walk in and forgive sins?" Never mind the fact, right, that the man was then healed and had walked away. They seemed to leave that part out. But I can understand why they were annoyed with that. But the point of the story, you know, we hear all the time that Jesus died for our sins, and that is true. But I think equally important, Jesus lived so that we could understand what it was like to have God in our midst, so that we could be brought into right relationship with God, so that any of the things that we hold on to, and trust me, you know, sometimes I'm a super forgiving person, but depending on the situation, I can hold a grudge just as much as the next person. And every time that that happens, I know that if I would let that go, if I would forgive and ask to be forgiven, that it would bring me closer in relationship to people and to God. And I know that whenever that happens, like the woman who came back to church after 20 years, I know that whenever I am brought back into right relationship with God, I feel freer, I feel happier, and I feel at peace. That's what Jesus offered that man that day. The fact that he was able to heal him so he could walk was an added bonus. But all of us are in need of forgiveness. All of us are in need of being made whole. All of us are in need of seeing Jesus as a real and present Savior in our everyday lives. Someone that we can reach out to when times are tough. Someone who cares about our problems, no matter how small, no matter how great. Someone who is not a God who is far away, but a God who is right here in our hearts and in our lives. And it all begins with forgiveness. Jesus said, "Son, daughter, child, your sins are forgiven. So take up your mat. Take it up. Take up whatever has been holding you back from showing the full expression of your love in the world. Take it up. Walk, go into the world, and spread the good news of the freedom and the joy and the love that there is in Christ. And all of us will be healed and made whole." Amen.